If your knees check the weather before you do, time to check out Joint Relief Institute. Fast, FDA-approved pain relief covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000 as in zero pain.
Your social calendar is filling up quick right now. Summer's coming, and I'm here to remind you to schedule a visit to the northwest side of Chicago, to the best butcher shop in Chicago, Joseph's Finest Meats. Why? I grew up in a butcher shop. I know the difference between quality and not quality. And I'm telling you, I would not be advertising or supporting them if I didn't know their product. Whether it's Italian sausage, USDA prime aged beef, or delicious chops, get them thick and brine them. These guys are a must for summer cooking. If you don't have the time, you're frantic, and people are coming over, I'm not ready, go there and get what you need. They have frozen stock, they have frozen items, homemade, frozen, the kind of thing that you would serve at your home to your family and friends. When you're at Joseph's Finest Meats, Sal and Ben will treat you like family. I guarantee that, personally guarantee, because it is a family business. It's a family butcher shop. There are a few of them left. These are the last of the breed. So do yourself and anyone on your social calendar a favor and make time to visit Joseph's Finest Meats on Addison and Nordica on the far northwest side of the city. A family tradition since 1977, 7101 West Addison Street, Chicago. Prime aged beef, sausages, homemade, and only the finest meats and cheese. And don't forget the provolone. I'm going to call and check and see if you got it. Joseph's Finest Meats, the proud sponsors of John Cass News and the Chicago Way podcast. Cheers. There are six simple words that will shake the world. And the words are, I believe that we will win. Yeah, I know. This is John Cass, and I'm a soccer fan. That's my motto now. I've seen this team play. I've seen them lose to Turkey. I pulled my hair out and screamed in pain. But I believe that we will win. And when we do win, I want all the soccer haters, including Dan Proft, to eat his hat. Jeff Carlin is here. Jeff Carlin and I have a lot of catching up to do. Well, we're here now on the Chicago Way. Jeff Carlin is the executive producer of WGN Radio, friend of Cass, baker of pies. And me, I'm John Cass, editor of John Cass News, your place for common sense, where only $1 a week or less brings you a cupful of Midwestern common sense every morning. And where are you as America begins celebrating its birthday? As we keep eating all the grain they're putting on the ground for us, wild pigs to catch us, and the Democratic Party is being consumed by demons that it created years ago. Socialists are coming for the Democrats. What are they going to do? And where are you as summer heat is finally here and your tomatoes are finally going to begin to grow? You're on the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.
So this is a guy who lives high on the hog. And he has this Tammany Hall style attitude to power. And it's the Chicago Way, absolutely.
Look, the Chicago Way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
It's the Chicago Way.
The Chicago Way. That's the focus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago Way.
So, Jeff Carlin, are you ready to watch the USMNT win on Wednesday and continue the glory?
Well, I saw it in print, so it must be true. But that would be amazing. This team, they're good. They're much better than the teams of yore, that's for sure.
Better than the last team.
That's true. I'm ready for Bosnia-Herzegovina.
Bosnia-Herzegovina, yeah. I think that's where Zlatan Ibrahimovic is from originally. His family ran or fled to Sweden to avoid the wars and slaughters there. And he thinks the U.S. can win. He thinks that. He said so.
That's good. We talked about it a little bit the other week when we got together. And it's been a bit, John. Happy birthday, by the way. I lost the need to watch FIFA and a lot of the World Cup stuff after all the crazy corruption stuff has gone up and all the weirdness that's, you know, people dying in their building stadiums in the Middle East because it's got to get built in the middle of a desert so we can play a game in the summer. I don't understand that. But I was the same thing with the football, like NFL. Like I follow it. I follow everything on paper, but I don't watch a lot of the games anymore because I just can't get behind them. And I know it's mealy and...
Yeah, this mealy. You're my friend, but you sound like you were the keeper of the Palatine Celtic, for God's sake. And now you have a team that counterpresses.
I know. It's amazing.
Which is what goalies love.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Hell yeah. Gives you that, because then I get the whole field to work with, and I don't have to worry about one of them pushing someone the wrong way.
Yeah.
It's awesome to see them come to this caliber and finally being competitive, you know, really competitive in the national. But this is the conversation everybody has, like, why don't we have a really good team? Our other teams are so good.
It is good.
But it is a good team, but it comparatively, is a good team. Right? But people, there's a question who's out there, is why doesn't the U.S. put out elite soccer players like the rest of the world?
We do have elite soccer.
Yeah, we do, but we don't put elite soccer players out like the rest of the world does per populace. I mean, our it's a massive country.
Ask the people of Juventus, ask the people of England. They've got players on their teams?
Oh, certainly. I'm talking like superstar elite caliber, the types of the Messis of the world, the, you know, Ronaldinho, is like the guys who are just transcended, you know, anybody's ability. The guys who are putting up hat tricks, for God's sakes. When was the last time a U.S. player scored a hat trick?
As you're speaking, I've got the game on TV. It's
of course. I'd be disappointed if you didn't.
And I saw a commercial, and it's Mike Arizioni, the captain of the U.S. men's hockey team in 1980.
Yeah.
Looking at two guys at a bar, not believing it could happen. And he's saying, what? You don't believe in miracles?
That's a good one.
Yeah, that is a good one.
Well, I mean, the soccer aside, John, I think it's the World Cup has been an absolute net positive for the U.S. in a time when a lot of the world looks at us as being like, what is going on in my neighbor's house? I feel like they are insane.
Think of the Chicago Tribune deciding what news the lefty Chicago Tribune, the lefty New York Times, deciding what all the news of the world would be.
Right.
And of course it would be negative. It would be like, meh, everything sucks. Everything's terrible. But the people who are coming here, fans, are falling in love with this country.
Yeah.
With over three decades of serving up streetwise insight and local perspective on Page 2, the voice of John Cass has a home at johncassnews.com.
There's a new sheriff in town.
This will truly be the golden age of America. That's what we have to have.
But as he settles in, can you deal with the hysteria, the meltdowns, the constant whining?
I don't know what to do.
You know what you need? You need a good cup of common sense.
It's just common sense.
Like the kind of common sense you get when you subscribe to johncassnews.com. I'm John Cass, 40 years a journalist in Chicago.
That's the Chicago way.
I opened this website, John Cass News, so that you could have a decent cup of common sense.
This great country of ours was built on its entrepreneurial spirit.
It's time that you join the frontier of independent journalism at johncassnews.com.
Subscribe today to get access to great columns from John Cass, Dan Proft, and others. Don't be a chum alone and subscribe at johncassnews.com.
We've talked about this so much, John, that over the years, people, they do this. They only focus on and they blow up the negative things of our society or of our past or history. And you can make an argument that the U.S. has done some terrible things around the world and it's existed 250 years.
Yeah.
That didn't benefit the locals, let's put it nicely. But I think our net positive on the world is absolutely positive.
Of course. And
overlooking that is something that, it's a privilege. I mean, that's what the left likes to talk about. Oh, we're privileged. Don't use your privilege against us or blah, 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 whatever. it's a privilege to be able to do that. It's a privilege to be able to say, hey, I think our country sucks and I hate it and everybody who's running it is awful and blah, blah, blah. Like that's a privilege that those people don't even realize that if they were in a country where most other countries, they'd face pretty strong recompense for coming out and MFing their own government.
I just think that many people around the world would grab those negative nannies and slap them in the mouth. Because look, I worked with the architect of this hatred. His name is Dean Baquet. He was a writer and a reporter at the Chicago Tribune when I was there. We were friends. We worked together. He was telling me how much I should read Marcel Proust. It was like a thing you wanted to read when you were a pretentious American. You know, you have to pretend to be intellectual. He supported and promoted the idea that the American experience began in 1619 when the slaves were sold here in America.
Mm-hmm.
That was the foundational date of the left for America. They don't want to talk about all the Anglo-Saxons who died on a bloody battlefields of Pittsburgh and Pennsylvania and Gettysburg and so forth to stop slavery, do they?
That's the thing, John. And let's say we build a house on racist foundations, right? You can make that argument. I think it's a solid argument in the context of the time. Sure. Government, this country was built on, you know, someone else doing labor that they didn't want, they had no choice in. But the country was built to be able to fix the things that are unfair and are wrong and are morally gross. And guess what? We've been doing that for 250 years. And we're ahead of everywhere else in the world as far as freedom goes, as far as opportunity goes, as far as consumerism goes, as far as almost health, but you know, that's a whole different thing. We're the only country in the World Cup that everyone keeps putting that stat out that doesn't have universal health care. And sure, okay. But yeah, that's what they overlook. They don't grow.
We're the country that pays your fantasy world. If you're European, especially if you're an Englishman,
right?
We support our people, support the fantasies of the British so they don't have to pay for their own social dreams, socialism dreams. And we do. We pay to protect them, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, we do. We have that role. We took that role, you know, post-World War II as the superpower again to be standing alone. And in the 80s, you know, we spent and spent to keep the Russians on the spinning like a top, and it worked. And
they went bankrupt.
And we've worked ever since to maintain that. And it's, you know, good for good or not. And that's one of those things that we've looked back on. I mean, look at the first Iraq War and then the second Iraq War. And then what do we learn? You know, we learned that can't trust our government. We can't, you know, hopefully we're putting things in place to keep us from falling into these wars again. But this is the point, John. I think all those people who come out of the woodwork and who lead the charge, who the team back case of the world, I hope, who knows if it's going to happen, that they see this. They see this. People like this on Twitter. Tony X2 on Twitter, who is come to America, who's come to the United States, who's seeing this firsthand and has only, like you said, caught the filtered leftist view, as you put it. This is what they're saying. And hopefully they see enough of this
post. No,
well, yeah, well, I'm going to give you, here he is.
We owe America a huge apology because America is nothing like what the media tells us. Everyone is so friendly, everyone is so accommodating, and I've honestly had the best time. I fly home Sunday and the English have a song where we say, please don't take me home, I just don't want to go to work, let me stay here and drink all your beer. And I've never resonated with that song more than in America for this World Cup. I wish I could stay and finish the tournament watching England. So if anyone is out there that can help me make this happen, then please let me know. I want nothing more than to stay in the USA, finish the World Cup, and meet more fantastic Americans.
That's just one. There are thousands. Everybody I run into who tells me a story about, did you see this guy? Or did you see that guy? Or did you see this post? I mean,
oh, how much they love America.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And Sean, it's in that vein. I mean, you sent me the column of Professor Turley, because he wrote this great piece, and you said, Sean, what's the title of it again? White Time. That's what it was. And it's this idea, it's the Dutch physicist, I think astrophysicist, I believe they are,
You're
talking about the idea of white time, because history has been recorded by white people, and if you don't account for that, then you're not doing due diligence, and you're doing injustices to the people who've come before us.
As our listeners should know, and I'm sure many of them do, Jeff Carlin is a future physics teacher. If measurements of time are considered racism, you'll be painted into a corner as a promoter of racism, Jeff, in the school, and you're not.
Well, no, and luckily, and so again, I don't remember, Jonathan Turley, law professor and big mind,
big brain,
wrote this, and it's big brain, and it's from his book, which I think it's from his book. Is it from? I didn't read if it was an excerpt or just a standalone. No, it's a standalone. But I want to read his book now, which is Rage in the Republic, the Unfinished Story of the American Revolution. And that sounds great. But the whole point here that they were trying to, he pulled out a couple of really ugly, wordy salad quotes from papers. And I want to see one of them here that really, because he nails it with this idea that they're using they use words that don't mean anything to make it sound like it means something. They change, layered jargonistic language, right?
Well, there's an entire, as he points out, there's an entire cottage industry of academic thought and practice that finds racism under every rock. Even if the rock is in the sun with nothing dampened underneath it.
Even if the rock is on a pedestal in a museum.
Right.
It goes back to what we were talking about before. The idea that they do, sure, okay, you might, there's a point to be had that white people have controlled pretty much everything in Western culture forever, and that things are lilted against black people. Yeah. Okay. You pointed it out to us. Let's not do it ever again. But they want it. They want recompense for that.
They want to hold our heads on the ground and step on our necks and ask us, beg us, or demand that we scream for mercy. And we're not going to do it. I'm not doing it. We're done with that. That's why they're so hateful of America now, because we're led by people that aren't going to back down or beg, like bleat, please slaughter us, please. Yeah, no, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, and this is anybody who studies history, knows this is the pendulum swing of this type of stuff. And we pre-Trump, or not really pre-Trump, I'd say probably pre-middle of Biden or pre-Biden, right around there before his election. We were in that point where it was the pendulum had swung as far left as it possibly could.
You think so? You thought so? Yeah, because it was the Obama presidency,
right?
He was in the basement fulfilling his fantasy. What he said on record to CBS was, "If I could have if I could be president and have like Victor Davis Hanson calls him." A waxing effigy, and sit in the basement and speak through earphones, and direct the process that way. He would like that. It was one of his fantasies. That was Obama's fantasy.
Yeah, that was mid. I mean, we were pendulum was past halfway at that point, and it was three quarters. And I think by the time Trump was middle of his term, we were at the peak and it was starting to come back, and by the time it was the Biden election, we were fully, I think, hopefully going the other way on it, especially with people who were, like you said, told that they either had to bow and curb themselves or run away or be, you know, locked up or whatever. And I hope this helps. I hope the World Cup stuff helps. And the question of, and actually, again, you kind of cut me off, but the point of Professor Turley's piece was that, you know, it's not the fact that they're calling out these things in these, standing on the hill screaming with their hair on fire away, you know, stylistically. It's that they then say, well, because of that, then we need to put people in academic positions that are underskilled and undereducated just to make up for that. And so then we've got doctors who don't know what they're doing, or we've got, you know, academics or researchers who don't know what they're doing and research coming out that then leading the way that's completely false and wrong. And it just becomes this cycle of dumb and sets us back. What should we do in this situation? We should look at why, if there's a discrepancy, and we should encourage, we should do programs to build people up from the ground or build people up over time. I mean, this idea that you just take somebody, well, they're black and, or they're a minority and they, we need a minority or we don't have enough minorities, so let's put them in this position, even if they're not qualified. That's stupid.
What will happen, what's going to happen, and is happening now, is that employers are not hiring people from those universities that don't have standards.
Right.
And so they're losing their money. They're losing their clout.
Yeah.
And so that's why they're freaking out. They're panicking.
Right. And that's that pendulum, right?
And that's why there's something called the SAT. Maybe we should use it.
Well, wow. Yeah. The SAT, again, great argument you can make for its efficacy, but at least it's a standard. I mean, come on. It's something.
Yes, I think so.
Well, John, it's America's birthday present is hot dogs and rage. I hope we can find a way around that.
You know, we start one of the iterations of this podcast when we began it. We were talking, I think I made mention of, and I got too ahead of myself. I was mentioning how you catch wild pigs, maybe in another cut, and we left it. But how do you catch wild pigs? I'm coming back to that.
Sure, Dan.
Because we are a country that's experimenting with socialism, and we want stuff from the government. We want stuff. And that's how you catch wild pigs. Stuff. On the ground, you catch them, and you know what the end chapter is?
They all get slaughtered.
The end chapter is the killing fields, right?
Right, right.
The killing
fields. Well, here's my question, John, to you. We kind of went back on this. Mentioned earlier that all the nations in the World Cup were the only country without, you know, a universal healthcare system, and
right,
and it's got, you know. We can put aside the arguments for either or, because that's not the point. The point is that the Constitution was written so we could vote and change things. If the country, if we voted to put in, and we have, I mean, there is sort of a universal healthcare of sorts with Medicare and whatnot, but Medicaid rather, and Medicare, we have the option to choose our future and pick things and vote and come together. I mean, there is a world where the U.S. could have a universal healthcare system that isn't what it is, you know, is oak works, and people are healthier, and we have, you know, more nominal standards compared to the rest of the world as far as, you know, healthcare concerns. What's your argument against that? You know, just saying that everybody we vote, the votes happen over time, and we get to the point where there is a universal healthcare. I mean, isn't that still American if we voted for it?
As long as we vote for it, it's American, right?
Right. Yeah.
But what that doesn't understand or account for,
mm-hmm,
is it's all about, for the left, it's all about free stuff, free healthcare. What is that? What does free stuff mean?
Well, but that's a really oversimplification of it, John. And that I'm talking about the idea that you're asking me.
On a podcast, I'm sitting, in my creaky chair.
You know? I know. Well, Sure. I mean, that's sure. Let's say we got to that point. We could get that point. So you answered my question the way I was hoping it answered that. Yeah. If we got to a point where it made sense where people could vote for it. I mean, we could do this. We're the greatest country in the world. You know, we could make sure people aren't paying $10,000 for a ambulance ride.
Well, since we're looking at the World Cup and the English holding their World Cup trophies, hoping that they're going to hold it, I want a question. What is the fantasy? If it's a fantasy for me to believe that I believe that we will win, what's the fantasy of the English that they have warrior queens, white or blonde haired Nordic queens riding dragons, ruling the world with knights in shining armor? What is that fantasy about?
Are you talking about
whatever it's called?
House of the Dragon?
House of the Dragon. I can't even understand this nonsense now, but go on. Yeah. I'd like a primer, but I'd like really to understand what's the nature of this fantasy. Because when you look at a people that have a fantasy, it tells you a lot about them. For example, my belief is and I could be wrong, but I don't think so. My belief is that the English have this Game of Thrones-like fantasy, even at a time when they have 250,000 rapes going on from the rape gangs in their culture, and they can't do anything about it. If they say anything, they go to prison. Do we understand that? I mean, I don't think Americans understand that. And I know that's disquieting, and I don't mean it to be upsetting to anyone, but when you have a culture of the left, a political party that talks about the left and the fantasies or the projection of the left.
I don't understand the Game of Thrones piece of it, because George R.R. Martin is an American, wrote it here.
Yes, but this is a fantasy about Europe.
Well, it's an American fantasy about Europe. So I don't know what you're asking me, John, because there's no connection between the two. I mean, you're saying that the British are all in on House of the Dragon because
the British are falling apart. The British are dying. Their culture is being overwhelmed by the third world, and the left has been importing the third world, anti-Christian third world into England, mm-hmm. like all our politicians have done to us. And what some of us are saying is that Britain should wake up and expel them. And that's either going to happen or it'll be violent. Don't you see that?
Well, yeah, no, that's, I mean, that is the state of things in the UK currently right now. That's right. Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I mean, those are the facts of what's going on. You lost me in the fantasy part, John. I just don't understand what you're asking me. So I'm gonna politely slide away from that and just say that I don't know how the UK got to this point. I do know how the UK got to this point. They essentially said that they wanted the gold medal in the Progressive Olympics, and they decided that everything they've done over their entire lifetime as a country, as a nation, as the UK, their reach is, they've been a lot of terrible things, and they have a lot more ammunition for people to say, oh, we have to do this, and look, we're so bad. I mean, yeah. US, we have it bad here, and we've been around for 250 years, and we're fighting that kind of, well, yeah, okay, we've done some crappy things, but we've fixed those things. We've learned from those things. We've done lots of that stuff.
Can we get some credit for penicillin, for God's sake? You know,
well, I mean, penicillin. We fought a war to
two.
Well, I mean, we fought one war within ourselves to essentially end slavery. Which, hello, you would kill their own people to prove a point.
Yeah,
and so yeah, it is weird that the British have just gone so cuckoo for this. And it certainly reeks of a cabal and you know, an organization behind the scenes that's, like you said, importing the same ideology here.
Well, all politics is local.
Right.
So what do you think what's going on in New York in Chicago, in Los Angeles, in Seattle. What does that say about our future?
I'm not as worried about it as you are, that's for sure. But I am because I see us in the pendulum swinging. Those are all remnants of the peak pendulum of this progressive Olympics era we're in. I think you've seen we're gonna run out of money. I mean, first of all, those things aren't gonna work. You know, you overspend, eventually it's gonna bankrupt everybody, and the running's gonna be obvious. So that's the ultimate, well, we screwed up kind of thing. But I think people have seen it already, and I think we're the pendulum is shifting. I mean, you've seen it from the administration pushing, but you've seen it in everyday life where people are getting into positions because they came up for this, you know, 15-year pipeline of racism. Therefore they deserve to be in this position.
But is there any reckoning for those people like Fauci?
DEI is pretty much, you know, a dead idea right now.
But Obama has his palace, his temple of love and fealty. It's up in Chicago, and people are being moved out of that neighborhood. The rents are going up.
Oh, sure. I mean, that happens in any sort of, I mean, a development. I don't know, John, I'm not sure where I'm going or what you're asking of me here, but I will say that I look at our own mayor here in Chicago. I mean, the guy has done nothing but leap the bed. I mean, if you put Mondami against Johnson, just if you were in line with their worldview.
He's a nicer smile. Mondami has a nicer smile.
Mondami is a smarter guy. Yeah. Mondami gets a question that he knows is either pointed to try to get.
He smiles and avoids it. Yeah.
No, he doesn't smile and avoid it. He answers it. He goes, uh-huh. He said, I know that here's the genesis of your question, but here's my belief. This is, you asked that same question to Brandon Johnson, and Brandon Johnson says, you're a racist. I'm not answering your question. Right. That's it. That's the only answer you get. And that's, you know, at least Mondami is. It seems like he's smart enough to be able to get in the room and find the best answer to a problem. I don't think Brandon Johnson can find the best way out of a paper bag. So I don't know what to say. I mean, I think the people in positions are more important, and it goes back to what we were talking about before. The only reason Brandon Johnson became mayor is because it was a DEI move, because he was the perfect eloquent-esque Black guy who could run as the head of this movement. That was it. He had no other qualifications.
Well, that's because Preckwinkle selected him.
Right. He had no other qualifications. He had never managed anything other than a classroom, which is not easy, but it's not
He couldn't even manage that.
He couldn't manage his own water bills.
He was a third grade teacher. He couldn't even stay as a teacher. He was a failure everywhere.
And this is the guy who came into office in his first 6 months, spent $80,000 to renovate an office for his wife so she could have some sort of official role. I mean, it just goes to show that it's more about what's behind it than the person and the movement. And like you said, this is, I think the movement here in Chicago, you know, has been laid bare for a lot of people because they've seen this. They've seen Johnson. They've seen the people that they put forward, the Stacey Davis Gateses of the world. And then they get caught in their own lies or their own BS, and it's obvious. And so I can't speak to LA, and I can't speak to New York, but that's what I'm looking at here.
Is the response to all this Mike Quigley?
Well, that's a totally different question, but
why do you laugh? Mike Quigley, leader of Chicago?
I would take Mike Quigley because I've known Mike Quigley a long time.
You know him because you're both hockey fans. He's a hockey fan.
Right, exactly. Exactly. He has, if you watch his stance on lots of things over time, you know, he's progressive, there's no doubt. You know, he's everybody's equal.
He progressed from being the baby kangaroo sticking his head out of Bernie Hansen's back pocket.
Right. I mean, his messaging.
Mayoral candidate.
Right. I mean, his messaging. You know, he's shifted with the times to keep up with the progressive Olympics, but right. He's never been the one to be like, well, I need a gold medal in this.
No, he doesn't. He's cautious. He's like a machine.
He's cautious. He's a machine, he's smart. Democrat. Right, he's a machine Democrat. So at least
up.
You know he can get stuff done. Right. You know, he knows who, you know, he knows where to pull the right levers. And I don't think he's a guy who lands on principle only or above all else. I mean, he's the type of guy, I found like I'm pitching for him, John. Thanks for this.
Yeah, you're not.
he's the guy who can find the right answer to a problem. And the progressive part of it isn't going to be the reason for it. You know, he's like, oh, this is, we got to do this. You know, it's, yeah, okay, but it's not logical. We're, you know, can't, you know, that's where I stand on him. As for the rest of the field, I don't know. Are you going to ask me about everybody?
Just the other day, I'll save those for next time.
Okay, thanks.
But just the other day, I lost a good friend, Tom Donovan, one of the leaders of Chicago, the boss of the Board of Trade. And I mean, he was chief of staff for two mayors, Mayor Daley and Mayor Blandick, patronage chief for both. He understood human nature. People might be surprised, but he was my friend. I went to his wake, was crowded, so crowded. And then there was a funeral the day after, but I couldn't attend that. And I kept thinking at the wake, these are the people who love Chicago so much. The 11th Ward people, the Chicago Democrats that I remember, that maybe you remember, Jeff. The people who loved the city and wanted to be whole again, and they have nothing. When Tom Donovan dies, they wrapped him, I'm told, in a flag of Chicago. They put a flag of Chicago around his casket at the church. And it's sad. It's sad that he passed. But, you know, there'll be other people that'll step forward. And that's the nature of humanity. Yeah.
I will take a well-oiled machine politician in Chicago who can get done, because nothing's getting done. And I mean, Brandon Johnson has only done half the job, if that, not appointing people that are to important roles, roles who are just related to him, paying people up. I mean, every one of his appointments it reeks of political favorships or returning the favor for getting you elected. And everything he's done has been like that. And he's failed everything. I mean, this is the guy who let the Bears leave. Yeah, it's so embarrassing. So I think their stance on so many things. And I say there, you know, the left with the CTU in Chicago for keeping it local is just so stupid. And it's so blatantly self-aggrandizing and self-promoting and making them rich. I mean, Stacey Davis Gates has a house in Indiana, just like John Cass.
Well, as long as Stacey Gates is involved in Chicago politics, then I can too.
Exactly.
That's what I like.
Exactly. Well, John,
Stacey.
Before we go, we did solicit some questions after John's birthday on Facebook, and there's some good ones here. I got to give a hat tip to Bob Boren, though, because I'm with him sentimental here. Bob Boren says, I'm getting depressed by the current state of affairs of political parties, so change the subject. My question is, who put the bomb in the bomb to bop to bomb? Who put the ram in the ram a lam a ding dong? Who put the bop in the bop shoo-bop shoo-bop? And who put the dip in the dip da dip da dip? Who was that man? That's one of my favorite eras of music. Me. It was me, John. No, it was George Washington. It's not to celebrate 250.
It wasn't George Washington. Who did it? Who was Mr. Bob-a-da-bob, bang-a-da-bang,
bing-a-da-boom-ba-boom, blue moon?
Who is that?
So that's the Marcells? It was a fantastic song. I love that song. And because of legal rights, we can't play it here. I'm sorry asking, but the internet is not the way it was when we started, so we can't go wild. That's a good one. Bob, I'm with Bob. Bob gets my favorite. But here's a good one, John. What will it take to make Chicago great again?
Oh, okay. That's good. Right up my alley. All right, here we go. Stop electing socialist Democrat morons like that little dwarf with the big Italian sausage. What's her name? That was bragging that her penis was bigger than, and she said those words, even vulgar words, was bigger than any Italian. Yeah. How could Chicago have elected her? And the other moron that we've spent a few minutes on, how could Chicago elected him? But they did, And I think, you know, the simple answer is prevent white chicks from voting, but we can't do that. So what's the other answer?
I think your initial response was Spot on, John. I don't think you need to elaborate any more than
stop. What, stop white chicks?
No, no. Stop electing idiots just because they're democratic socialists. Like, that's the dumbest reason to elect anybody. Like, oh, I think they're going to make the world a perfect, better place, so I'm going to elect them even though they can't find their way out of a bag. Yeah, that's, we got to stop doing that.
If you don't put criminals, violent criminals in prison, you won't have a Chicago anymore. And guess who got reelected? Tony Preckwinkle. And who elected her? The unions, I'm not against unions because both of my sons are involved in the unions.
No, but unions are a necessary thing.
But what do? They got her elected. And as long as she's around, until they start putting violent repeat criminals in prison.
And they are. They have. We've seen it. I mean, you've definitely seen it since.
I don't think Bethany McGee saw it.
Right. John, you're falling into the same trap the left falls in. They find the one thing and say, oh, well, that makes everything. But yeah, that guy was already part of the old system. He hadn't had any interaction. I mean, that guy should not have been on the street. The system was broken and they're working to fix it. And that guy was insane and he should not have been on the streets. We know that. But they're doing that. To now, we've seen more and more of that. There was a guy, there was just a story about some guy who he stabbed a guy on the train, you know, just randomly stabbed him six times for no reason. And his mom saw his picture on the TV. He turned himself. I have anger issues and I don't like when people look me in the eyes and it sets me off. And they said, okay, well, what did you do? And then so he went in front of a judge, and the judge says, absolutely, you're staying in jail. And I don't think that would have happened a couple of weeks ago or a couple of months ago, because it would have been, well, this guy's got mental problems. And, you know, he should go back to his mom. His mom can handle him.
Because if you did anything else in those days, just a few months ago, you would be considered a racist.
Right.
For throwing a poor black man in prison. How dare you, sir? Right, exactly.
Right. And by all accounts, I bet this guy does have mental issues, but he's not safe for public consumption, as they would say. So, yeah, you're right, John. We need to stop listening. We need to do our own research. People need to stop trusting what people tell them and do their own research. Find, you know, oh, they said it was good, or they said this. They said Paul Vallis is a Nazi, so, or a KKK member. Why not?
They deserve it. See, they deserve
it. So we deserve it.
They deserve got.
Yeah, we did. We certainly did. And oh my God, John!
The Bears.
Yeah, you get the Bears. Well, that's not. I know it's. They said it's going to happen. I still don't think it's going to happen. But
it's going to happen, Jeff. It's going to happen, just like the crispy edge of pork tenderloin cutlet in a frying pan. The long decline of the city of Chicago proceed, and then suddenly quicker and quicker. Like bankruptcy, it'll happen, and there won't be money to pay for police or fire, and that's why people are leaving. There are there's no education. Public education is a joke.
Yeah, I mean that's the tale.
I'm sorry, you're going to be a teacher. My son is a teacher, but I want everyone listening to this to realize that I made a big mistake. I put up the question, like ask Casso, and it was showed me blowing out a sparkler on a cake, and people thought it was my birthday, and it was my birthday, but I used the wrong picture. I don't have a photo editor. I just thought it. I thought I looked stupid enough. It was a good picture because I looked stupid blowing it, and I did, and I failed. So next week I'll put up more questions and more a regular, like a philosopher.
Right. We'll get some less birthday distracted questions.
I have one. Do people think it's time that I could try bringing back the Mutsa?
Yeah.
We'll find out. I'm going to ask it.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. All right. For Jeff Carlin, executive producer, WGN Radio. And for me, John Cass, editor of John Cass News, your place for a good cup of Midwestern common sense. Join us again next time, won't you? on the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.